Be good to have as backup.
So yeah. I'm recording as well.
Yay.
Okay. Excuse me. Well, I can't wait to see how this show turns out. All right. So everyone ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Hello and welcome to the big show, the show where it's going to be straight up a crapshoot today to see whether or not I actually make it all the way to the end of the show, because my internet connection is garbage. Welcome to technology in the United States. I am not Ewan Rankin, and if I were, no doubt the internet connection would be much better, because Ewan has a lot more clout than I do. Let's just hop into it. Rich, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Jeff. Glad to be back.
It's great to have you here, and it's great that my connection is working well enough that I can actually participate in the call or in the show that I'm supposed to be hosting today.
It really is. If it's any consolation, my connection is really good.
It is. You know, that makes it all better for me. Thank you. Yeah.
Glad I could help that.
Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's definitely not the best week, but it's okay.
I can appreciate that.
It's almost the end of the week, so I'm happy. It's not the best, as I said, not the best week, like weather-wise, work-wise, like just everything.
Yeah, I get it. It's just, yeah, it's welcome to 2021.
Yeah. You know what I say? I always say, like, it's not 2021 yet. Chinese New Year is on my birthday on February 12th. So until then, it's 2020.
Okay. Okay. You know, I am totally willing to go with the Chinese New Year and see if it's better come your birthday.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Ian, how are you?
I'm great, sir. I'm good. I'm, as usual, sat here doing my thing. Had a week off this week, so it's been a bit quieter. Potted around. Nice. Been locked down, so it's not really the same, but I needed a break, and it's good.
Yeah, you know, I think taking breaks, very important.
So, definitely. So
good for you.
Definitely for your mental health. Definitely good.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Well, we may as well just jump right into the stories. And so, Ian, you have the...
Take the second story rather than the first.
Okay. I'm grabbing
because the first story is the same one that Patrice is going to go. We'll go with that one. This one's a nice the future is here thing. Hyundai, okay. I've got flying taxi port. I'm backing from the UK government to create a flying taxi port. How about that? Vertical takeoff and landing taxis. We are starting to get towards the future. And we've got flying taxis.
I like this. This is
good. You know, this is the kind of silliness that I enjoy. I actively enjoy silliness like this. By 2028, so it's not going to be too long but before we actually see these things buzzing around London. I mean, it's going to end up being a touristy thing, isn't it? But that does sound like a fantastic thing to be able to buzz around the city on one of those.
It does get us one step closer to Blade Runner.
Yeah, exactly. And that's got to be a good thing.
Well,
this is...
Never mind.
I'm already a replicant. Well, it doesn't matter.
When I think about flying taxis, I always think about The Fifth Element.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the movie I was thinking of. The Fifth Element was the one for flying taxis.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, yes, you're right. That's the much better flying taxi reference.
It's at least the more realistic one.
Yeah, I think you're right. It actually is.
Yeah, those ones on The Fifth Element, they looked like taxis, didn't they, from my memory?
They did.
They were like yellow cabs, weren't they? They were like flying yellow cabs.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so flying taxis. Yeah. How do you manage the air traffic?
It's going to be in central London, so I presume it'll probably be based at the airport that's in the centre of London, which is already there, and it's already got airspace, and it's already controlled, so it's completely fine. Buckingham Fayand, it was a corporation. Just going to check, see if they've said where they're going to base it in that, because it was only quite a short, it's only quite a short article, really, that me, I'm going, ooh, look, flying cars again. But
I mean,
but yes, the no, it, is, they don't say where, but it more like be London Airport than anywhere else, yeah. And that's fine. The city can already cope with it.
Isn't that exactly what helicopters are doing?
Yes,
like you have the airports, you have the helipads, like they, like you can call them and they bring you from A to B. Like, didn't even, I think Uber already like had some point, I think they sold it or something or shut it down. They had like taxi service by Uber, like all of that.
But so if you link up the country, I don't know, but if you link up the country, if you see the pictures, they look like smaller pods. They don't look like, it's not like Ellie. So it's not going to be 6 or 7 seater. It might only just be you and the driver. And they'll bob you off to wherever you want to go. So you might just scoot you off from the top of one building to the top of another building across central London. I mean, it cuts down congestion and stuff like that. It's fantastic in that way.
Okay,
so, certainly a better idea than jetpacks as well.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, we did jetpacks the other way. That looks great. I still like those, and those look fantastic. Sort of one of the thing for the future. You see, I'm still basically annoyed that all the things they promised me in Tomorrow's World when I was a kid isn't there real things that I can see on the streets. That's the thing. Tomorrow's World for people not in from the UK was a magazine TV program that used to sort of give you a picture of the future, technology, a science program. And there would always be things about flying cars. You know, lots of stuff they did come true and everything else, but particular things were flying cars and stuff like this. You'd see back in the ones from the 70s and 80s and jetpacks and all these sort of things. They show you these bits of flights of fancy. And by 2020, this would all be real. Of course, and then in 1980, when I was watching this as a small boy, you think, oh, yeah. And now I'm at this point, and it's just not there.
Yeah. Okay. So part of me really wants this, and part of me.
Oh, yeah.
Just sees an absolute disaster waiting to happen. So just scanning through this, these are autonomous vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you take out the possibility of having a car pilot who isn't capable is having some emotional issue or shows up drunk or who knows what. So we've taken that out of the mix. But man, I'm looking at or thinking about all the logistics that go along with this. You now need to have dedicated landing and takeoff points for these. Because it can't be like...
They look small. I mean, those things are small enough to bang on the top of a tower block, though. If you can put it on top of a skyscraper, yes, done.
I said, don't we already have helipads like most bigger cities and on towers or whatever?
Yes, that we do.
I mean, they're also talking about this for using as little mobile ambulances for first responders and paramedics to jump into. So that's another great idea. You'll be able to quickly move across and suddenly you can't have the whole problem of trying to travel across the traffic in any big city.
Now, that seems like a much more useful place for these. Because... To me, something like this is not useful for most people because it's going to have to be like Patrice said, something that uses helipads, which are going to be on a limited number of buildings in the cities, and excuse me, and maybe occasionally you'll find. A ground-based one away from a hospital.
Yeah.
So you have very few places where this would be practical for the average person beyond paying for a helicopter. So it becomes way too expensive for most people, becomes something that most people won't actually ever take advantage of. It will have no impact ultimately on traffic. But then if you turn this into something that emergency services use, like a flying ambulance, okay, now that's really cool because you can fly this pretty much anywhere, land between buildings on the street, and or in parks, or you know, any place else where you have just a large enough piece of land to set this thing down safely. And you can get this into a lot of places where you can't get a traditional ambulance.
Mm. And from what they're saying, there'll be zero emission as well. So it's going to be bolts function off the grid and produce zero emissions. So it sounds like it'll be electrical then, clearly. But I mean, that's going to be rather excellent, I think. We get to the stage where these things are.
I could see there being courier delivery kind of opportunities for something like this as well.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it'd be cool in an action movie if you like used one to kidnap the president and then Gerard Butler had to go and get him back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Now that you say that, I'm picturing Westworld, because they had a very effective use of flying cars in the Westworld series.
I need to catch up on that. I didn't watch the last series yet.
It's good. It takes a different angle to the story, because and this is not a spoiler, the last season or last series takes place primarily outside the park.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting seeing the world outside of Westworld.
Mm. I never did get around to seeing that. I may have to.
Yeah, I
remember the original movie. I remember the original movie and enjoyed the original movie.
Yeah, Westworld was a good movie. Future World was not.
Mm. You
know, not at all. And then the TV series is good.
Mm.
Yeah. excuse me. All right. So, Patrice walked away just in time for me to start talking about her story, which also means that I have to go to my backup story, because this is the story that I was planning on bringing as well. My office manager decided to help us too. Man, we are straight up professional on this show. all right. Well, I'll stall for Patrice and then let her jump in with her take on this. Okay. So Patrice's story is Robin Hood blocks purchase of GameStop, AMC, and BlackBerry stock. And so the thing behind this is we had a situation where day traders or retail traders were playing in the stock market, and you have hedge funds that were assuming that GameStop, which is a video game retail company, so a store, you go in and buy video games, and it's been on the decline for a long time. And it was really big in the 90s. And so their stock has been dropping. And you have hedge funds that have been shorting the stock, which means they buy the stock and they're assuming that the stock is going to continue to drop. They can sell the stock, wait for it to drop, buy it back. And they do this with other people's money.
Yeah.
And then when they buy it back at the lower price, they have now made a profit off of someone else's money. And so Patrice, I'm doing the lead in for your story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my camera just crapped out, so I had to really quickly fix it.
But you did a fantastic job. So what has happened is you have all these people that were using Reddit and Discord to talk about what, you know, the stock, and they took this stock that was practically worthless, mm-hmm. and started buying, and they drove it up so high. It was like at $400 almost,
yeah,
I think.
About 380, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a little bit more complicated. Like part of the issue is that other people significantly shorted the company. Mm-hmm. So I think there was like someone shorted them for like 55 million. And which is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of stock options. And those shorts have an expiration time or expiration date. And like when they expire, you have to buy them back basically. Because you have to return them, basically, kind of. And
so if they're
at that point the price is higher than when they bought it, then they've lost money.
And in this case, a lot of money. So so we have hedge funds that have been freaking out. Because they were shorting the stock. There were others that were betting that it could go up, and they've made out pretty well.
They're happy.
Yep. And there are a lot of day traders that made out pretty well. So so then it leads us up to the story that you brought, Patrice, which is that is that the different trading companies,
trading apps basically. I mean,
trading apps. Yeah, they're blocking trading, stock trading on GameStop and also AMC, the movie theater company, which has been doing very poorly thanks to the pandemic, and then also BlackBerry.
Yeah, BlackBerry's another one. So
the problem with this whole thing is like the second this happened, a lot of like hedge fund managers and like traditional bankers were all up in arms about, oh, they can't do that, and like we should halt trading, whatever. And like everybody was like, well, they're doing exactly what you're doing.
Yeah,
they're just beating you at the game. I mean, if you could do it, then you would. So
right, yep,
yeah. I mean, is there a little bit like gamesmanship in this whole thing, and like sticking it to the man and all of that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Totally. I think so.
Sure,
but so far, I've heard also from like the SEC and like FBI and whatever. Like, they're like, I mean, they're like, we're monitoring this, but so far we haven't seen anything illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. So,
right. So
I mean,
so now we have Robinhood and I believe E-Trade and Ameritrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also halted trading on these stocks, but the thing that I have seen missed in some of the stories that I've looked at about this. The trading is halted for the day traders, the retail traders, that meaning the individuals, the hedge funds and the other big name players.
Mm-hmm.
They get to continue trading.
Yeah,
it's completely exactly. Corrupt.
Yeah, it's basically. If you can find another service that will trade for you. Like Robinhood, for example, then I mean you can still trade, but like most of them have shut it down, and yeah, the big banks, they have no restrictions. Like the trading hasn't been officially halted. Like it's just the apps decided to do not do it. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, I'm not really into like stock market and trading, whatever, but it's a very interesting thing. That the second something, I mean, this, I'm pretty sure this has happened before, like in a smaller scale. It just like blew up. Like, I mean, people have gotten together and like traded together for probably as long as the stock market has been around.
Yes.
That's nothing new.
A lot of it's been run from a Reddit group called Wall Street Bets. They've kind of got together and said, let's see if we can drive it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how it's happened from what I read.
Yeah.
And the social community has got, so again, it's the power of the internet. Group of people have got together. I mean, some have seen it's kind of like the Occupy movement. It's a bit like Occupy Wall Street. Well, we'll stick it to the man. We'll make you. I mean, now I'm looking at that particular Reddit thread, and then now people are talking about creating a class action against Robin Hood. They're saying that we can't stop.
They should.
Probably. Because not what they're doing is bad, but Robin Hood is doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of difficult to say because, I mean, technically it's a private company and they could do whatever they want, but it still goes against
what Robin Hood says the premise of their company is.
Exactly.
And part of me is just loving this because it's like the little guy is finally getting a little something out of the system. But there's a part of me that's like, oh man, this is just another thing that's going to spin out of control and turn into something that that screws the average person, because there are the amount of money that's been involved in just the whole GameStop thing over the past few days, it's more money than the average person is able, even in mass, to put into this. So there are big traders that have been involved in this as well.
Yeah, and a lot of small, like a lot of small ones, but also some big names.
Yeah. And so they've been able to take advantage of this, and you know, just like the little guy has. And ultimately, I fear that what's going to come out of this and other trades that we'll see runs on is that there will be changes to the system that make it more difficult for anyone that's not part of one of the big players to participate in the market.
I can see something else happening, to be honest. I think there will be probably in the next couple of days already apps that will monitor, like, oh, it fell again, monitor social media and basically like automatically react to those threats. Like they will find what the others are doing and trading and then just like either hop onto the train or whatever, like take advantage of that. I think that's what I can see what's going to happen.
Okay. Yep. I can see that happening too. And, and it's not like this doesn't already happen because the big trade companies oftentimes have access to trade data milliseconds before it's really public, and it allows them to respond to trade activity really fast. So
I can tell you that the field of optimizing systems and like real time anything is basically the financial space right now.
Yeah,
there's some other areas as well, but it's mostly the financial space that's driving that, because every millisecond that you can save and that you can make something faster and react faster and get data processed faster and whatever is a millisecond that you might be earlier, and that might like give you a financial benefit.
Yeah, and that's
like, I know people in that industry, so I know people who are working on that stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And yeah, and that's even led to stock and investment management companies setting up offices as close as they can to the hubs where this data is being transmitted from, because they want the advantage that comes from fewer milliseconds of getting those electrons through a line into their place.
Yeah. It has also led to some really funny, funny kind of hiccups where the software just like went went crazy and just started trading crazy stuff and nobody knew why and what was happening. It just, the algorithm just decided it was time to do something. They lost like billions or whatever because of that.
So it's the algorithm's version of a Reddit.
Yeah, exactly. That has happened in the past. Like, it's not the first time.
Yeah. And okay. So another thing that bothers me about this is that by shutting down trading for average people, it gives the the big investment firms exactly what they need, which, I mean, they're being very open about this. It gives them time to reset and and to or I believe the term they're using is recalibrate.
Yeah.
And
listen, to create the algorithm or the bot that will just scrape all the social media sites, like scrape Reddit and just find the trades and follow them.
Oh man. Okay. I want that app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the market is not fair to begin with, and I think that's kind of the point that a lot of people in that Reddit thread were making, or that Reddit group, because I mean, most trade, like I would say most trading places that I know of, they have a minimum, and it's not like $10 or something. Like it's like the portfolio you need for like a lot of bigger banks, as far as I know, is like $100,000 sometimes. Mm. So that's not something that you and me can probably afford.
No.
So, yeah, that tells you for whom that game is, really.
Yeah,
and the game is not for the likes of us, which is why we've been locked out of it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or they're attempting to anyway.
Yeah, and I think for some people this is a revelation, because I think a lot of people assume that the stock market is this very refined system with basically a flow chart of what you do to evaluate and buy or sell stocks. And the reality is this is a market based on emotion, with lots and lots of money.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I read the other day something about like the stock market and the current economy, and like why the stock market is doing so well while everything else is going on. And I think it might've been in the Morning Brew actually. And yeah, one of the reasons was the stock market is not based on reality. It's based on perception of reality and especially perception of the future.
Yeah, because that's what predicts the buys and the sells, isn't it? I mean, after all, they think your company's going to do well, people invest in you. If you think your company's going to tank tomorrow, they'll sell. So yes, completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when you have a company that announces their quarterly earnings, right after the earnings report happens, then you see all of this this trading tend to happen where their stock goes up or down.
Before. Predictive, like to say, okay, like, I mean, if you can get in before and say, okay, like you predict they're going to, I don't know, they're going to lose money and the stock market, the stocks are going to go down.
So you short them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and then after the earnings report comes out, then the market adjusts.
Yeah.
And really what that means is, well, based on how we feel, we're going to value this company at this level, which makes each stock share worth this much. Mm-hmm. And then the company says, well, this is what really happened. And then everyone's like, oh, I need to change how I feel. And then that will change the value of this stock.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's, I mean, and it's not always like, I mean, when we're talking about financial things, we should have Bob Beach here. He could explain all of that to us, but like, yeah. But it's not about, like, the company could be like making money hand over fist and like going gangbusters and the stock goes down because people think, okay, this is not going to last. Stuff like that. So it's not, as I said, it's not always about what's happening right now. It's about what's going to happen the next day, month, year.
Yes. Yep.
Last hour, minute, to be honest, with stocks and trades.
Yeah. In some cases, yeah, it depends. But the perception, from what I know at least, is still a little bit longer.
Mm.
Like I said, it's not 10 years, but it's also not 10 seconds, usually.
Yeah, it's...
The 10 seconds thing is probably more about what what those people think, what other people think.
Okay. Yep. Yep. I'll accept that. Yeah. It's yeah. Okay. So are we going to find it more difficult to participate in the stock market as normal people?
Question.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling is yes, because the big players, they don't want a wild card like us in the mix.
It's true.
It makes it a lot harder for them to do what they do if there's people like us that are playing around on a level where it can actually change numbers.
But yeah, it's true. I mean, they don't want wild cards. Like the best for them is if it's predictable, because then they can predict what's going to happen and then they can make money out of that. If it's unpredictable, it's hard for them to do their jobs, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the market becomes more. Yeah. Well,
there's big opportunity in volatility, as we've seen in Bitcoin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it's a lot more risky and it's a lot harder, and like risk is something that most people don't want.
Yeah, not when it comes to losing money. That
that's trillions of money. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not like 250 or like $5 or something. Like, they're trading with like billions sometimes.
Yeah,
which is just astronomically insane.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a number on a computer.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not as if you're sending like trucks full of money from A to B or gold or something.
Yeah, that's true. You're just moving decimal points around on a screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, my assumption is I've missed out on the GameStop opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's over.
Gone. Yeah, that's come and gone.
Yeah. I mean, that was over like probably an hour or two after the story broke, because at that point, everybody jumped on it, and then it's like kind of gone.
Yeah, that's. I think you're right. In that sense, it's similar to a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
where you have to be in right at the beginning, and then you make all the money off of everyone else, thinking they're going to make the money too.
Mm-hmm.
And then along the way, you have a few people that still get to make some money, because that gives everyone else hope that they can make the money too. But yeah, you have to be there at the beginning. Otherwise, you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Fascinatingly, I mean, I've been flicking through the thread from the Reddit, and it's just interesting to see all that there's people from all over the world trying to get involved in this, you know, from South Korea, Germany. I've seen people posting from France and other things saying they're all getting involved in this or trying to.
It's too late.
It's too late. Oh, yeah, no, they've all seen it in the news this morning, but the boat has sailed, hasn't it? You wouldn't have been yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, you needed to be in this. When did this really take off? Like on Monday?
I think so, yeah. Like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, so you needed to be in this on Monday or Tuesday and then out. And if you did that, you probably would have been at that top of that pyramid scheme, so to speak.
Yeah, gonna make some money.
Yep.
Yep.
Totally.
So, and this is exactly why I had to bring a backup story, because I was pretty sure that someone else was going to pick GameStop.
yeah, we had three people then.
Yeah. And Rich, when I saw your story link pop in, I'm like, seriously, I have to pick another story. But it turns out, I don't. No, we're good. So, Rich, your story from Engadget, the redesigned Tesla Model S interior swaps in a steering yoke.
And yeah, just when you think nothing's happening, Elon Musk doesn't let you down. He's gone and done something crazy with a car.
Yeah, and I feel like I have to toss this out there. Those of us of a certain age, immediately thought Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Even I did that.
I'm completely looking at it going, yeah, does it? I want to have the graphic on the dashboard with a little thing with a kit telling me what to do. I just need that, a black one with a little thing on the dashboard. I'm sorted.
That would be good.
Ambition reached.
But you know what you can have on the dashboard of this car, apparently? Witcher 3.
I was looking at this thing. What the hell?
Yeah, they have a video game app store on the display.
Sat in traffic thinking, if only I could play Witcher 3 right now. And now you can.
Or in traffic, playing Witcher 3, thinking, hang on, I've got to pull away now.
Yeah.
And then slowly crash into the back of the car in front of you.
That's true.
Maybe just playing The Witcher 3, crashing and being the cause of why there's traffic. All these things.
Well,
are possible.
I think this the steering yoke is going to play a role in crashes as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because while it's a nice idea, I'm not sure it's a really efficient method of controlling a car.
Right. I mean, as far as I know, every Formula One car has kind of like a yoke like that, or steering wheel. It's not unheard of, but I saw someone who said it's really fun to drive like straight with. The second you have like turns, it gets really annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a formula car, I can totally see where this would be useful because, I mean, you're locked in the car, you're braced in a position, and and you don't have any sharp turns.
So no,
We're not talking about NASCAR turning left for an hour. Right. We're talking about proper racing where you get. I mean, but even so,
but it's not
you're
not to
steering,
have to move
it?
More than you, this.
You don't have to go locked. Yeah. And that's your full lock of steering. We're in a regular road car. You've got the whole
whip to work with.
Trying to get into a parking space with that
would be impossible.
If it's a Tesla, you won't, right?
Does it park itself? Yeah, it'll have to.
Because you can't.
It has 10 teraflops of computing power on board, which is roughly a PS5 in terms of capability. Now, they could be using all of that to run Witcher 3.
Yeah,
that's my assumption.
Does the car slow down if you play Witcher 3, I wonder?
Well, this is it. They could also be using it for self-driving stuff. And all that kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure.
I'd love to know the licensing deals they've worked out to get games on this thing, because some console makers can't get games on their consoles. How has he got them on a damn car?
I mean, is that confirmed, or was that just a marketing thing that they put in there? I've seen the photos. I don't know whether that's confirmed.
I would assume that if they're using someone else's intellectual property in their publicity shots, that's been approved. But at the same time, we're talking about
Elon Musk, so.
I realized what I was saying as I was saying it. So who knows?
But it is really interesting. I mean, they have three screens in there. Like there's they changed their approach to screens, kind of. Like remember, like the Tesla's thing was it had like one big screen in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. They've changed it. They have now three. There's like one for the driver. It gives you like all the driver stuff that you need. The one with Witcher 3 on it is actually for the passenger. So it's actually angled away from the driver even. And then they have they've one in the back for like the kids. So they're changing it.
Well,
he's actually personally tweeted that you'll be able to play The Witcher on a Tesla.
Oh, okay.
It's still Elon Musk.
Interesting. Yeah, he might be stoned and just like not know what he's talking about. he thinks that they're gonna get it, but they haven't like confirmed it or anything yet.
Oh, wait, hang on. Update, not a joke on him saying something about. And it can play Cyberpunk, he said. There we go.
Who doesn't want a game console that you can drive down the highway?
And he guesses that you want to be in reverse or forwards. there's no control as to whether it goes front, forwards or backwards, unless you, and that basically, I don't know what you do, but a will of mind alone or whatever. But there is no shifter. There's no gear. There's no, for you to tell, for, I mean, because even on those, they've got forwards and back, and there's not even a forwards and back.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Well, no gears makes sense because...
Well, they've never had any gears, but they had a forward and reverse gear. There were just two. There was one for forwards and one for back.
Well, I mean, technically, there wasn't even a gear.
Yeah.
An electric motor is literally just turning the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, you're basically reversing it, aren't you? You're reversing the poles, basically, the magnets. I mean, it's not...
It was just an electronic switch, basically, to go back and forth. Mm. It's interesting. I mean, would be interested to know, like, how they figured out, like, whether you want to go forward or backwards.
This is there a has guessing. To be a button.
I don't like the idea of guessing. I'm not sure if it wants to guess, but I want to go forward.
Exactly. It's like you're sitting like at an intersection and all of a sudden the car goes backwards.
Well, I think it'll have the logic to something behind you and you're going forward. So if I tell the sat nav I'm going to the shops and I've put it in the location of my supermarket, it'll know that I'm going to turn left, isn't it? Because the logic will be there.
If you're sitting like at a four-way stop in your neighborhood, and you forgot something and you just want to reverse back to your house, like two houses down or whatever.
Yeah, you can.
How are you going to do that? You can't.
You have to be able to override it.
So contextual direction.
Yeah, it's like, mind you just tell the car. Oh, that's probably it.
Reverse.
Exactly. Back to the house.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm assuming there's a button somewhere, but still, I mean, the idea of having to say, "Hey Tesla, reverse."
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, I said a button would be enough, like on the control surface.
Yeah,
like a button is enough because all you need to do is like tell the car that you want to go backwards. Like nothing else needed, and you don't need that often. Like I mean, every now and then.
And you know what else you can do is these computer controlled cars kidnap the president. It just everything just keeps coming back down to that tonight. I'm sorry. Don't anyone do that. I mean, that's not a recommendation.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Do not do that.
Don't sorry kidnap that I have anyone. To
point that out.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to point that out. Yeah.
But yeah, the Tesla Model S, 520 miles on a single charge. And
that's pretty impressive.
38,000 dollars.
That's the downside.
Okay. Yeah. As cool as a car like this is, it's a car that I don't feel like even if I had the money to lay down for this car, I don't feel like I could buy it because of where I live. So I live in Colorado and I go and drive in the mountains. And I go and drive from where I live in Boulder to Steamboat Springs, where my brother lives. Okay, so that's a 4-hour drive, most of it in the mountains, and many times in the winter. Okay, so far we're still fine, except that we do have snowstorms that are extreme enough that there are times where you're just stuck in your car.
Yeah, that would actually, honestly, that would even be better in a Tesla, I would bet. Like if you're stuck in your car, like there's probably
you can play
like
Witcher.
Worse places. Yeah, exactly. You can play Witcher. Yeah.
But we've had incidents here where there've been snowstorms. People have been in a Tesla. They're stuck in the mountains, and the battery dies. And now they're just stuck in a cold car and it gets colder and colder. And with a gasoline engine, you can, in many cases run longer, but you also have the option of turning it off and on. And,
I thought about that. The amount of like energy to keep the interior warm is definitely less than if you had let your car running. So it should, in theory, last longer. The question is, like, what are you doing in addition to that?
Yeah, you would think it would last longer. Yeah. And I think part of the problem is the cold. Like, Like
it can that does reduce it. That does reduce
it. Old enough that the batteries aren't efficient anymore.
Yeah, or it keeps the batteries warm, which like I know the Teslas do, but then that drains your battery because.
There've been enough instances in Colorado where people have been stuck in the mountains because of snowstorms, and the people in gasoline cars were okay. The people in the electric only cars were not. It's happened just enough that I decided, you know, when I'm at a point where I have the cash to throw down for an all electric car, if I do, it will be a city only vehicle. It will not go in the mountains.
Yeah, well,
or at least not.
And I mean, I would say the Model S is probably not the perfect mountain car anyway. So
I have to agree. Yeah. Like, so for now, I'll stick with my Prius.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, it's like the best of both worlds, or the worst of both worlds. I'm not sure which, but
the worst of both worlds.
it's a nice little car, and it fits in my parking space.
Yeah, that definitely.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, then that ties nicely into my news piece, which is also about Tesla. Hence my concern, Rich, when I saw your link I needed to find another article. Elon says that the Cybertruck engineering is done. And the first deliveries are going to happen this year. It'll be just the high-end model that has the three motors in it. And while he says that the first models will be delivered this year, I question this because Elon doesn't have a good track record for delivering new car models on time. And they don't even have the equipment to make the car yet. So they still have to get that, and there's like a big body die that they have that is bigger, or that they have to get, and it's bigger than the one they currently have, and the current one is like 5,000 tons, something insane, and the new one is so much bigger that it's 6,000 tons. So they have to have this thing delivered to them. So I'm assuming that it's either being manufactured right now or has been manufactured, and they just have to figure out how to get this 6,000 ton thing to their Texas factory. Mm-hmm. And there's still rumors that they haven't finalized the body design yet. So they're claiming, hey, we've got the truck engineering done, and we'll start delivering at the, you know, by the end of the year. And at the same time, haven't shown that they even have the ability to produce these.
You know, sorry though, I'm ordering one.
Yeah, we should all
now? Order them. It's amazing. I mean, looking at this thing, made of stainless steel, and then you've got all the madness of 4.5 seconds to 60, three engines, and then a coefficient of drag of 0.3, which is the incredible thing for a truck. A coefficient of drag, rather, of 0.3. So, I mean, it's as good as a normal car. Your average Ford Focus can do that. So, and a truck gets nowhere, and most trucks get nowhere near. So it's fascinating thing. But God, it's hideous.
So here's a fun thing. I'm on the Tesla website. Hideous. Mm-hmm. On the Tesla website, on the UK site, I can order one of these cars right now. I can put the full self-driving option on for another £6,800, and I can pay £100 deposit today. Does not tell me how much the car is at any point, but I can reserve one and pay them £100 right now, this minute.
And you know, if you need to ask, Rich, then maybe you just shouldn't be buying one.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if it's less than $200,000, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, given the size and everything, yeah. I mean, the bottle X is like 100. Was that 120, 230? Like, depending on how, like, what model you're getting, or like what trim. So
yeah, and I am looking on the U.S. Website, Tesla website. I cannot pre-order a Cybertruck.
Ooh.
I have. I love that the order they list the cars is Model S, 3, X, and Y. So it is sexy.
Yep. But I mean, the Cybertruck would be the perfect car for you, Jeff, right?
There you go. There's a link for the UK.
Like, that's the car for the snowstorm. Order now. That's the car for the mountains.
That's, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I need. And I need the add-on package with with the whole camper thing on the back. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then you can, like, snowstorms, you can like stay the entire winter there, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's like my portable igloo. Mm-hmm.
And exactly. In the UK,
I need two.
And true, in the UK, footballers will be buying them like they're going out of business.
That's true.
They'll be driven
to drive
by
around
soccer
London.
Stars. To drive around London. They'll be driven around London by soccer stars. That's what will happen.
Yep.
There's no more an ostentatious example of wealth. Never mind the Rolls. I'll take the Cybertruck today. And that's going to be, that's what will happen to them. And they'll be taken to their kid. They'll be taking their kids to school in a Cybertruck.
You know, having been in London, the humor of that, I really get it. I really get it.
Yep.
I can visualize someone driving their Cybertruck in London, and the image in my mind is absolutely as ridiculous as it should be.
Yep. They'll be on the King's Road. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
They'll be the next trendy thing on the King's Road. There'll be Sloan's flying up and down middle of London in those. I mean, you'll be able to drive them. Well, they're a low emissions vehicle. It's safe to have in the center of London.
Safe is a relative term, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, safe is a relative term. But, I mean, electric cars aren't taxed in the center. Petrol cars are basically taxed to death in the center of London. But EVs are free.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do they get charged the congestion charge in London?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, we have a congestion charge.
Yeah. But do they get charged it? That's the question. Like,
no. No, electric EVs don't.
See,
EVs are exempt. So there's another reason for having an EV. EVs are
exactly.
Yeah, all right. So I have a question about that. These extra charges, is that something you pay when you license the car, or is that something you pay like a toll when you drive into London?
So it's toll when you drive into London.
Okay.
You get a bill.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's linked to the car.
Okay.
I am number plate recognition camera, and from there on in, I can't remember how it works. I think you've got to register, because if you're driving around without, then you get a ticket for trying to dodge it. But you've got to register and get yourself a car to say you're driving in London, and then it gets billed some ridiculous amount. I can't forget what I don't. I refuse to drive in London, so I've no idea what congestion charges are.
Me neither.
I did not drive in London either. It didn't make sense. I mean. And here's the thing that I thought was weird. I listened to so many Londoners
£15 a day
about the public transportation, and I thought it was brilliant. I would love to have a public transportation system that works as well as you have in London here.
That's a low bar.
Yeah, and yet. I thought it was amazing because it was so easy for me to figure out which line I needed to be on and where the stops were. Every stop was close by. And even if it wasn't close enough that I wanted to walk to it, there was a bus that was within a block, maybe two, of every place that I needed to get.
Yeah,
and you get off a train and you come up out of the station and the bus pulls up, and Yeah, it was amazing. I was
we're probably spoiled. We're probably spoiled.
Oh, but we go, you absolutely are.
But then we go to Europe and we go to places like Switzerland and Germany and we travel on the various trains and systems there, and they seem far more efficient than ours. They're on time generally, and they're much more efficient. The thing with our trains is they're never always on time. German ones, I've been very lucky with Germany.
You've been lucky. German trains are never on time. That's a myth.
German trains, I've been very lucky when I've travelled across the. I've travelled across Germany. I've always been very lucky. Trains have been there when I'm lucky. I went to Sweden and they were a complete mess. It was worse than England. And then I've been on trains in Switzerland and they were fantastic.
Model Jeff is wondering, what are trains?
Okay, so the last train that I rode, actually I rode several in the UK, and it was great. Mm-hmm. The last train that I rode here, the Amtrak, and and I needed to get from Denver to Grand Junction, and normally that would be one of those things where it's like you just get in your car and go, because there's not going to be a more efficient way. I mean, it's at the it so I'm like a third of the way into the state if you're going east to west, and then to get to Grand Junction you have to go over the Continental Divide and across basically the rest of the state. Mm-hmm. So that, just for comparison, is like, I think like driving across the whole UK, pretty much.
All right.
And the reason I needed to go is because my car, I had lent it to a friend, and they got sick and they were stuck in Grand Junction and could not drive. And so I got a train ticket, and which involved having to figure out where I could find a bus that would get me where I need to go. And what it turned out was, yes, I could get a bus, but I had to get to the train station in Denver about 4 hours ahead of my train leaving. So I did. And the train ticket was stupid expensive. And then once I was there, then the train was delayed 4 hours.
Oh, God.
And so when we finally left, okay, it's actually a really amazing ride to take the train from Denver Union Station out to Grand Junction, and I've done it before. I've gone all the way out to Los Angeles. Just an amazing way to get to see parts of the United States you would never get to see. But holy crap. I mean, it was literally a day-long event to get from Boulder to Denver to Grand Junction, where I could have driven the whole thing in 5 hours, something like that.
Yeah.
And we took the Amtrak down from Boston to New York and then New York to Washington. And that was fantastic. I mean, that's really, I can really recommend that as a thing to do if you've ever the time or in the right place to do it.
Yeah. So you went to Washington State on Amtrak?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Into D.C.
Still very cool.
Yeah. One of my dreams, like something I want to do eventually, is take a train from New York, like New York, Chicago, and then to L.A.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really cool. And there's another one on the...
Depending on which route you take, you probably will go through Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be.
And and if you ever do that, let me know. And I will connect up with you in Denver and right on out to L.A.
Cool. I mean, we're going to come to Denver way before that, but...
Excellent.
That's like something I want to do.
Excellent.
There's the other journey with the one up on the Canadian Seattle area where there's the glass car. You travel down through the Rockies, and that apparently is amazing. And I can't think of what that one's called.
You would think I would know, and yet
up
I don't.
In Seattle.
but the observation cars on the route between Denver and Los Angeles, which includes Grand Junction.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Sounds cool. So this has been This Week in American Travel by Train. and hey, we have to say thank you to our sponsors, TSO Host. Thank you. TSO Host makes sure that we have the space that we need to store and then stream all of these shows to you, including today's with the amazingly high production quality that we've had, which includes me having to crumple up paper and throw it at my office manager, Kat, who is trying to eat Lego off the table behind me, and Patrice having to deal with falling cameras and also my horrible bandwidth today. Anyhow, the point isn't that technology has sucked for us today. It's that technology in general is awesome for us thanks to TSO Host. So if you need to get a new domain, hit them up. Also, if you could take to social media and give them a shout out, they would love that. That's how they know that we all appreciate everything they're doing to make sure that we can be here for you every week with the high quality professional standards that you've come to expect. So thank you to TSO Hosts. Also, Iman Max, they are awesome because they will fix anything you have with an Apple logo unless it's covered in fabric. I think if we continue to hammer on them, eventually we may be able to get Cal to break down and fix a HomePod. Maybe.
Eventually. Maybe a mini.
Yeah, maybe a mini. But the great thing is they go beyond just looking in your computer and swapping out components. They will figure out what it is that's actually broken. Is it a capacitor that fried and needs to be replaced? Okay, they'll actually take that off the board and put a new one on. So you get your computer or iPhone or whatever it is back, and you have fewer things going into landfills, which is absolutely awesome. They also sell computers, so if you're on the hunt for some Apple gear at a much better price than brand new, see what they have going on, because they have computers and iPads, and they're absolutely awesome. And Patrice, do you know if Ewan's contest is still going on to win a Iman Max mug or a charger?
I don't know. I haven't seen that he has picked anything, so I would simply say yes.
Well, then we're committing Ewan, because he is not here to change anything we're saying. We have the power. Okay, so what you need to do is what is it? Send an email.
Yeah, send an email to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com, I think, or BritishTech@gmail.com. Always forget.
It's send it to both and it'll bounce back from one.
Exactly.
And then what happens is you have to include in that email the names of the four people that work at Iman Max, just their first name. Don't need to worry about their last names. And you already have one for free because I mentioned Callum, and now you just need to figure out who the other three people are. And one way to do that is to go and watch the Christmas show, because all four people's names are mentioned there. I believe you can also poke around their website. And if you're astute, you can find everyone's name somewhere there too. And then everyone that gets all four names right and to Ewan before whatever his deadline is, you go into the pool to potentially win an Iman Max mug or an Iman Max wireless charger, which also includes a couple of USB ports on it. So you can use it as a wired charger for devices as well. So thank you to TSO Host. Thank you to Iman Max. And and support all of these people because they are awesome and they make it possible for us to be here. Which brings us to the cool thing. And I'll just go around the list in the same order that I had everyone originally. So Rich, if you're ready.
I'll go. Yeah. Right then, my cool thing is, am I close enough to that? I've moved it. Right. My cool thing is that they've just put out Yakuza 3, 4, and 5 and the remastered collection out, available for Windows, and it's on Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Game Pass for Windows. If you haven't played any of these Yakuza games, I can't recommend them enough. I hardly haven't played them though. So I'm clearly full of it a bit, but I've watched them. I've been in a house with somebody who has played them for hundreds of hours, and I've seen them so much I kind of don't need to play them anymore. But they are fantastic. They're open world adventure games set in this little city in Japan. I've forgotten all the names of the places because I didn't play it. This was a bad idea, but you can now just go and play them because they're on Xbox Game Pass and out for Xbox, and you can buy them on Steam. That's my cool thing. There's not a lot to it. It's just a really good collection of games that's just come out. And I can't recommend them enough. So go and check them out. And once again, I'll recommend Xbox Game Pass because it's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't take up too much time with that one. That's pretty quick.
All right. Patrice, what do you have for us?
I have something that I just dropped off the table. It's a it's a like a phone tripod basically. I'm actually also going to put that in the chat. There are like similar ones. If you can't find the exact one that I posted in here, they're very, very similar ones. Just search for them on like Amazon. They're like $20-$25 usually. I tried them. They're really small, so you can put them on your table. Like, they're not the best tripods in the world, but for your phone, if you want to put it like on your table somewhere or in a corner and film something or whatever, they're good enough. And I said, like, they're $20, $25, $15, like somewhere in that price range usually. They're all from China. They're all exactly the same. Like, the company name is different. They look exactly the same. So, you know, it's the same company. Ultimately. Doesn't matter. I bought one and it's really good. I mean, other than that, my table is simply too small and it fell off, but that's not the tripod's fault. It wasn't falling off, like falling apart or something. It literally just like I was rocking the table and it wasn't enough space. And there it went. Yeah, that's my own fault. So as I said, like if you need something like that, this one is called from a company called UbiSize, but like in the UK store, I found one. Looks exactly the same. It's from a different, completely different company. Like same photos, same everything. So yeah, you know.
I think I've got one of these. Yeah.
It's not this brand, but it's this.
Exactly the same.
I love the picture they've put on the Amazon page of showing you different suggested heights it can be. Yeah. It could be infinite heights, but what do you 25 inch, 33 inch? It could be a bit tough. Like, thank you.
It's like 40 inch, 50. Like.
Oh, yes, that is awesome. That's great.
Yeah. It's simple. It works. Like there's not much to it. And as I said, for 20 quid, it's like, it's a no-brainer. If you need something like that, like me, if you want to know the second part of this pick, then you will have to listen to the Mac Show tomorrow because there is a reason why I bought it, and I'm going to tell you about it.
Well, I'm so glad I'll be here for the Mac Show tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, Ian, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing is the Wii-necked cat tracker. We've got a Moggy. And she gets lost and she's black and she disappears and hides. And so we got one of these GPS trackers for our cat. It fits on her collar and we can find her wherever she goes. And so she runs around the place and we get this fantastic app, and then we've got a little map. You can see a heat map of where she's been. And you can see how she goes out the front of the house, around the roads, and then she comes back again, all the neighbor's garden she's been through. And more crucially, the time when she decided that she was going to camp out in our neighbor's garage. We think we've lost the cat. Where's the cat gone? And then we're walking around. We can see on the phone where she is, and we couldn't work out. And we could hear mewing coming from inside the neighbor's garage. And then we went and see the neighbour and said, hey, I think I can't in your garage. She said, sure. Yeah. We couldn't see her again. She's black. So again, we couldn't see her. Put lights on. Eventually saw someone scurrying behind the cupboards and found her, coaxed her out with food and a little devil. But brilliant little thing. Works on GPS inside the little lozenge thing. It's not very big. It's about the size of a USB stick. Inside, it's got a 3G SIM that's you pay a monthly fee of about £8. And that keeps you connected to their service, and you, and then you can see what your cat is. It's fantastic. I'm very impressed for what it is. Yeah. I'm very impressed with it. It's worked
the
really
funny
well
thing is, it looks like you can send like a ping to your cat even, and it comes.
Yeah,
for
you
food
can.
Wow.
Yeah, if you teach it, you can ping the cat, and you can also speak
awesome.
To the cat. So you can ring the cat. You can ring your cat up with it.
Oh my God.
We used that again to try and work out where she was. So we rang the cat, and there's a speaker on it. So, are you there? And of course, you get your voice echoing back at you. So at least you can work out where the little bugger was. But,
oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God.
That is brilliant.
But as a cat finding as a gadget, you can get dog ones as well, just the same. Honestly, it's a brilliant little gizmo, and that it's not $1 million. It's not £1 million to buy, and it's not £1 million to run, and it's been a godsend in terms of, particularly my wife worries about the cat, and having this has been a godsend for my own sanity of not having to worry about where the cat is and coming look at me and say, I can't find the cat. Where is she? She can look at the app and go, oh look, I can see where she is. All is well.
That reminds me that after time when I bought like security cams for like my house because the US, because my dog was at home and I was at work. I wanted to see her. Like the first, like, and I mean, you can talk to through that. The first couple of times, like she walked up to it and looked at me and like moved her head. And then after that, she just completely ignored it. She's like, like she's not here. Like, who cares?
That's funny. That's funny. But this thing is cool. If Kat was an outdoor cat, I would put one of these on her. And if I put one on her right now, my heat map would be on top of the ottoman, one end of the couch, on top of the back of the couch, my office chair, and the fleece blanket that's folded up on the bed.
Maybe you can program it to vibrate every time she goes near your Lego.
Oh, I like that. Okay. If I could make it or have it just shout out, hey, don't touch that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like this.
She has to open the door when she comes in here, and then when my wife gets up to go and open the door, she runs back and jumps on her seat and sits on the warm bit.
Yeah, it's because cats are selfish like that.
Yeah, they're not stupid, are they?
No, they are, but they're also selfish.
Yeah.
If my dog got out, I'd just follow the trail of overturned cars and burning buildings. It would lead me straight to him. Wherever people are fleeing from.
That's where your dog will be.
That would be it.
Well, that's funny.
No, see, that's efficient.
Mm. It is.
Where's my dog? Good. Just follow the destruction trail.
Yeah. Ground zero, I think that's where they call where he is. Yeah.
Yes. All right. My cool thing, my pick this week is a Mac app called HudaSpot. And this is like the best tool for finding files on your Mac. It's it goes beyond what you can do with Apple's own search tools in macOS. And it lets you create really complex search queries, and it can search multiple folders at the same time, meaning multiple folders that aren't related to each other by location. It's just like crazy powerful. And so, you know, if you need to be able to do really complex searches for content on your Mac, HudaSpot is the tool for you. It's a $34 application, but as of this week, it's on SetApp.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, HudaSpot.
I do miss SetApp so much. and all those clever little apps like that one.
SetApp is a wonderful tool and or service. And I remember when they told me about it when it was in beta, and I was excited and concerned at the same time, because I thought the idea of having access to a large library of apps that that you might need without having to deal with the stress of, well, what do I need to buy, and do I need to try out a bunch of stuff? No, it's all just there. That was great. But then I was also concerned, would people really be up for paying for another subscription? Yeah. And, you know, because it wasn't a tested model really yet. And then it launched and it took off. And so, of course, I was relieved. And what a great service.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've subscribed. I stopped now because I don't use my Mac as much for work as I did. But I did. And the only thing that got me was when they took away the iOS licensing, because then that made that a bit more expensive for me to run it, because it wouldn't work for what I was doing with it. But other than that, it's been good.
Yeah. And it's growing and changing, and it's always evolving. And I can't find a reason for me to not use SetApp.
Mm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
it's a good. And it now is a good service. I can't knock it.
Totally awesome. All right, Rich, where can people find you?
You can currently find me on YouTube on a channel called Early Morning Barking. That's my thing at the moment.
Awesome.
What, you bark in the morning?
I don't. The dog does. It's okay. Actually, it's a mental health channel. And it wasn't intended to be so when I came up with the name. So I don't know if it's a little inappropriate or not, but I was just sticking with it. Hmm. No one said anything so far.
Awesome.
Why not? I mean, barking in the morning can be very therapeutic. So it's like,
I might try this.
Yeah. And if people complain, tell them that you're sorry and you're working on getting your dog to be quiet.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. Think yourself like he hasn't got out.
Yes.
It's true.
Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Big Show and tomorrow on the Mac Show as well. Everything I do on an updated website, thepatrice.com. I did like little fixes and tweaks and stuff, so it works better. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback, and I just like last week released a new episode with yours truly, Brett Terpstra. And awesome. That was really, really good, nice. Really interesting. Learned a lot about him, stuff that he's never talked about on a podcast. So highly recommend that you listen to that if you're into food, like, or anything like that. Or into bread. Like, it's fine too.
Or if you're just into interesting people.
That's totally, yeah. There was this Jeff guy that I talked to that was really, really interesting too.
That's okay. So that means that not only have you interviewed me, you've interviewed someone else named Jeff. That's my assumption.
No, just you. Just you.
And I promise, Patrice, I'll find you some time.
Oh, don't worry.
And we'll do one.
It's not going anywhere, so don't stress out about it.
Ian, where can we find you?
Big Show, Slack Room. Those are the usual places for me. LinkedIn, Ian Grant. That's where you'll find me.
Awesome. And I am Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram. I'm here on The Big Show every week, and then on Fridays on The Mac Show as well. And this week I have done Mac Voices Live, and then let's see. So this is Thursday afternoon for me. So Thursday evening. So tonight for me, I'll be doing In Touch with iOS, and I feel bad because I know I'm forgetting another show that I have coming up soon. Anyhow, I do a lot of shows. It's coming out on the 1st, and it's from the London Mac User Group and Bites and Brew. I feel horrible. I'm forgetting the full name of the show. Anyhow, had a wonderful chat with them, and that's coming out in a couple days. And tell you what, I'll do my best to, no, I won't just do my best. I will make sure that I have all the information about that correct so that I can mention it on the Mac show tomorrow.
Yeah. Brew and Bite. I just looked it up.
Brew and Bite. Brew and Bite. Yes. Yeah. That was so much fun. Yeah. And I'm Jeff Gamet, not Ewan Rankin. And I believe that Ewan will be back with us tomorrow for the Mac show. And you can bet that the standards will be even higher tomorrow than they are today. So thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you on the Mac show tomorrow. And there we go. And we have a show.
Yay. Another one in the bag.
See.